Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk with some exciting news. We've selected 18 of the most popular broadcasts of the past year and present them to you together on 6 audio CDs in the 2016 Family Talk Best of Broadcast Collection. Join Dr. Dobson and many incredible guests like Anne Graham Lotz, Dr. Robert Jeffers, and Eric Metaxas in this compelling audio collection. You can get your CD set as our thank you for a suggested donation of $50 or more to support Family Talk. Your gift today will be doubled by a generous matching grant. Join Dr. Dobson and serving families by calling 877-732-6825 or visit drjamesdobson.org.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And I'm Joe.
And we're from the digital team. We hope you had a blessed Christmas.
And we hope you have a fantastic 2017.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and we are continuing to share the best programs of 2016 throughout the month of December. Franklin Graham embarked on a 50-state tour he called Decision America. This was a nationwide campaign to encourage Christians to vote in the November elections. Dr. Dobson met up with him toward the end of that tour, and their conversation was one of the most popular programs of this past year. Even though the election is over, Franklin Graham's mandate to Christians is still relevant. Here it is now on today's edition of Family Talk.
We're in Dover, Delaware, and it's a pleasure to be here with my great friend Franklin Graham. He has invited us to come and be part of his rally, the Decision America Rally. He's doing these all over the United States. And how in the world have you gotten the energy and the time to be in every state in the country? I mean, that's phenomenal.
You know, Dr. Dobson, it's a commitment. And when we first made this commitment last year, I had no clue what we would find, what we would get ourselves into. We pulled our permits a year early for each capital. And they asked how many people that we anticipated. And so we kind of figured on a high number, about 500 people, that I thought would come at noon in the middle of a work day to pray. Most capitals don't have a lot of parking around them, so those can become an issue. And I was just blown over when we started in Des Moines, Iowa, back in January, and we had several thousand people standing in the snow. And it had been there for hours.
What did you predict? What did you think?
We just thought it'd be a few hundred in that cold weather that would come. And to see several thousand, and they didn't come to hear me, Dr. Dobson. It's not about me. It's about our country. And people are coming to pray. And they're frustrated with the politicians. They're frustrated with the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. These are people who realize that if something doesn't change, our country's not going to survive. And they realize the only hope is God. And so they come by the thousands, and they come to pray. And we start off with a prayer meeting. And then I give an evangelistic message. And what has surprised me the most is when I give the evangelistic message, it's only 3 minutes. The people.
Your message is 3 minutes?
My evangelistic message.
I see.
The whole program is 45 minutes. I give the gospel, and I give an invitation. And people get saved. Sometimes it's hundreds of people get saved. And the percentage of people coming to faith are about the same as the percentages of people attending one of our crusades.
Is that right? You have said that America is in dire circumstances. That's a quote. That's your statement. Why and how are we in that kind of mess?
Dr. Dobson, it hasn't happened in over the last 5 years or 8 years. This is something that's been going on for the last 100 years. And it's really accelerated since World War II. We are turning our back against God and His standards. This nation was built on a biblical foundation. Doesn't mean that we're a Christian country. We're not. But it was a biblical foundation that our forefathers gave us. And we have turned, as a nation, we have turned our back on His laws and His standards. And I just feel that unless something changes soon, that our nation won't make it. I'm asking people to vote. When we go to these rallies, if you're complaining about what's happening in America, then vote and let your voice be heard.
You don't tell people how to vote.
No, I'm not endorsing.
And none of the rallies have you said
no.
Vote Democrat or Republican.
No. But what I am telling people is to vote and then to pray. Pray before you vote. Ask God.
You know, there are a lot of people not planning to vote at all this
year.
Well,
and I talk about that. And I tell them you may have to hold your nose, and you have to choose which one you think will best support Christian values.
I would like to point out to people that it's not only Hillary and Donald, but it's the down ticket. If you don't come to vote for the president, then for Pete's sake, come and vote for the other representatives.
Well, I tell people that, I mean, you're going to have to vote for president because you only have one choice. You've got to ask God, but vote. And don't just sit home. But if the Christian voice is not heard in this election, we're going to lose. And it'll be a game changer. The Supreme Court, you mentioned that, Dr. Dobson. The next president, right out of the chute, first thing, they're going to nominate a Supreme Court justice. Most likely in that presidency, there could be 2, 3, maybe as many as 5 Supreme Court justices could be nominated. And if they are the wrong justices, it's going to change this nation for the next 100 years or more.
It's over.
It's going to be over for our lifetime.
You know, that's the first thing you said I disagree with. I don't think we'll ever come back, not in 100 years. Once you, it's like a freeway. You turn down one road, you're going to be going down that road forever. You can't back up on a freeway.
The only thing, Dr. Dobson, that would back it up is if there's some kind of major catastrophe.
Yeah.
That our nation goes into some type of war or something that maybe would bring people back to God. After 9/11, if you remember, for a brief period of time, the churches were full. People began to call on God, seeking God's face. It didn't last long. But the attendance at churches for 2 to 3 months after 9/11 were an all-time high.
Yes.
And it may take some type of national catastrophe, the destructions of our cities or something, to get people to turn back to God. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I know right now we have an opportunity during this election to make a difference. The Christians have an opportunity to make a difference. And I've talked about the national election, but I remind people how important it is to vote for our state senators and congressmen, and that's at the state level. We have to vote for our mayors, how important it is to have Christian mayors across this country, Christian city council, county commissioners, but more importantly, school boards. I want to see men and women of God running for the school boards. If we took the school boards back in America, if Christians across this country ran for school boards, and not just get on the school boards and sit there like a knot on the log, but you have to get into people's face. Because when the progressives, and a progressive is just a nice word for an atheist, okay? They call themselves progressives. They're atheists. So a progressive gets up and holds up a book that's pornographic and saying this will help our children to find themselves and help them to understand their sexuality. And when it's only pornographic trash, we need Christians on the school board who say, nope, we're not going to have that book. And matter of fact, there's more of us than there are of you, so we're going to vote it down right now. You've got to have Christians on the school boards and take control of the school boards.
Do you say that at the rallies?
Absolutely. You better believe it. Yes, sir.
And what's the response?
We've had people come to me who said, Franklin, thank you. I'm going to run for school board in my community. And I think we're hearing that a lot because people understand the school boards. Because if we can take the school boards back, we can get the education system back. This could take the next 4 or 5 election cycles, but we could get control of the school boards across this country and make a huge impact for the future for our grandchildren.
What happens at these rallies? You've been all over the country.
Again, Dr. Dobson, it's something God has done. It's people come seeking God in His face. They're not seeking Franklin Graham. And it's something God has done. We'll take the first 15 minutes of taking time to pray. And I take Nehemiah chapter 1, when Nehemiah was serving in the king's palace. He was a slave, and some family friends of his came back from Jerusalem visiting, and they asked what was the state of Jerusalem. He said, well, the walls were torn down. The people, the remnant that is left behind are in disgrace, in despair. The gates have been burned with fire. And when he heard this, he fasted and he prayed and he mourned. And then he confessed his sins and the sins of his people, the sins of his father's family. And then the Bible tells us that God gave him favor. And the king sent him back to Jerusalem. And within 52 days after going back to Jerusalem, now he's not an engineer. He's a slave in the king's palace. But within 52 days, he rebuilt those walls. And he rehung those gates, and now there are people that say it's too late for America. Really? If God's people rise up and begin to pray, it's not too late for America.
You really believe that?
I believe it because
we haven't crossed some Rubicon where we're never going to come back.
I don't believe that because I look at what happened with Nehemiah when they prayed. And God heard his prayer and answered his prayer. And Nehemiah, when he went back, he had all types of threats against him. That they even had to work with a weapon in one hand and work with the other hand because of the danger and the threats. But he did not let that deter him, and he was focused. And as a result of that, God blessed him and God gave him favor, and Jerusalem was rebuilt out of the ashes. Now, can something like that happen in America? If the people of God prayed, Dr. Dobson, yes, sir, if the churches across this country begin to pray, and I ask people to go back to their homes and form prayer groups and begin to look for people in their community that they could get behind. President Barack Obama in his earlier days was a community organizer. And I tell people, go back home and become a community organizer for God. And that's why I'm going state to state to state, capital to capital, encouraging people to take a stand. Let's don't be afraid. And they will come against us. They say, we'll sue you if you mention God's name. We'll sue you if you pray in Jesus' name. Okay, go ahead, sue us, because we're going to stand here in God's name and his son, Jesus Christ. And I just encourage people to take a stand. And we cannot let them push us around. We cannot let them continue to threaten us. And that's what happens. Gays and lesbians are the biggest opponents. And they have come to most of our cities. But it's interesting, Dr. Dobson, in California, they put a big push. We're in Sacramento, and we're on the west side of the Capitol. It's where we had our permit. They pulled a permit for the north side an hour before ours, and they were going to assemble an hour early and then come over to our site to disturb our meeting. Well, by 8 o'clock, we already had several thousand people. Gays and lesbians at 11 had 25 people. At 11 o'clock, we already had 7,000, 8,000 people. And then at 12, the place was so packed, we had no clue how many people were there. The gays and lesbians may have had less than 100. They just went to the back, held up their rainbow flags, and said nothing. And our people said nothing to them, very polite to them, very respectful. We even had water, handed them some water, because some of them looked thirsty. They want you to think that they're the majority. They're not the majority. And they pushed hard to get a huge crowd. And at 11, all they had was 25 people. So I'm just telling Christians to take a stand because there's more of us than there is of them. But they want you to think that there's more of them than there is of us. That's what they want you to think.
You know, I spoke in Seattle some years ago at a baseball stadium. And there's a huge crowd there. And outside, the homosexuals had come, and they were carrying signs, and they were hooting and hollering, and they came in, and we were glad to have them come in, and they were sitting over here on this side, and they were going to outshout me, and I stopped, and I said, I want to address you folks over here. I want to tell you I know something about you. Many of you have been wounded. Many of you have been hurt. In the early days of your life, you have really gone through tough times. And many times, people who call themselves Christians have called you names and have hurt you. I want you to know I'm glad you're here. And I appreciate you coming in to listen to us. And they calm right down.
Well, you know, gays and lesbians have a right to be in politics like we do.
Of course.
They've been very organized. They've been very successful in getting their people elected. And Christians have been very tolerant, and we should be tolerant. But at the same time, we Christians need to speak up, and our voice needs to be heard. And this whole Decision America tour is to get the church to wake up and to get the church engaged in politics.
The essence of what you're doing here?
They have to wake up and get involved in politics, otherwise we're going to lose it. But at the same time, I give a simple gospel message. I don't think I should ever stand in front of a crowd of people and not give people a chance to ask Christ into their hearts, into their lives. And as I said earlier, I think that surprised me more than anything else, the number of people that make a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ. And these are church people. They're not hearing the gospel in their churches. And they're coming to this rally and for the first time are hearing the gospel.
Franklin, I've watched you on CNN and Fox News and all of them, and what I've appreciated most is that on every occasion you find a way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what direction the conversation's going, you find a way to talk about the Lord that we both love.
Yep.
And I appreciate you having the courage to do that.
Well, you know, Dr. Dobson, we're here on this earth just for a short time. And the only thing that really matters is to confront people with the truth. What have you done about Jesus Christ? Where is God in your life? And are your sins forgiven? If not, here's the only way you can have your sins forgiven, and to love them enough to share with them how they can have that hope that we know, and that hope is found in Christ.
Franklin, I appreciate you, appreciate what you're doing, yeah, and your love for the Lord. How old were you when you found Jesus?
I was 22, Dr. Thompson.
Where in the world were you for 22 years, being in the home you came out of?
It's not that I did not believe. I believed in God. I just didn't want to surrender myself to God, and that was the issue. I didn't want him running my life. I wanted to run my own life. And I came to just really a crisis in my life when I realized that I was sick and tired of just being sick and tired. And I asked God to forgive me, and I asked Christ to come and take control of my life. So, like millions of people, it wasn't I didn't believe. I did believe, but it was the lordship issue.
Hey, I can't let you get away without asking about your dad.
Well, thank
you.
He
is so deeply loved, maybe more respected than anybody else in the country. And I have had a chance to be with him. I've known him for many years.
Sure.
And the more I know about him, the more I love him. And the main thing is not only his love for Christ, but his humility. With all of the attention that he's gotten and all the books and everything, all the evangelistic crusades all around the world, he has not let that go to his head.
No.
And he is the humble person I first knew when I met him 30 years ago.
That's right, and that's, he's still that way today. But you know, he's in he is in good health in the sense he doesn't have any health issues other than he's old. He doesn't see well, he can't hear well. If we're having a conversation around him, you know, he doesn't get much of the conversation.
Is he still lucid?
If he can hear you, he will understand. I was talking to him not long ago and talking rather loud, and he was kind of nodding his head. And after about 20 minutes, he looked at me and he said, "Son, I haven't heard a word you've said."
Is that right? Do people come to see him?
We keep him a little bit isolated simply because just health reasons. You know, at his age, a cold would kill him. So we try to protect him as much as we can.
The Samaritans first got involved in the Ebola crisis,
yes,
didn't it? And it helped to bring people back to this
country. Dr. Brantley was the first American doctor to get Ebola. He worked for Samaritan's Purse there in Elwha Hospital in Liberia. And we had an Ebola treatment center there. It was the only one in the country, and Samaritan's Purse was running it. And then Dr. Brantley got sick. Then a SIM missionary who worked with him, she and Nancy Reitbold, she got came down at the same time. And so I pulled all of my people out. I didn't know how they were getting infected. You know, I was responsible for those people. So we pulled everybody out for a period of a few months until we evaluated it. Then we went back in. But Nancy Reitbold and Dr. Brantley, wonderful people. And it was God that saved them. And it was a miracle how they came out of Liberia. We've got a documentary that will be coming out first of next year, a two-hour documentary on saving Dr. Brantley.
Well, we began talking about the Decision America Tour.
Yeah.
You've almost got that done. You've been at it throughout the summer.
Yeah.
Are you tired?
You know, Dr. Dobson, interesting thing, no. It has been something that has energized me. And I've enjoyed being with the people. And every city is different, every state is different, every crowd is different. But to see people excited about our country, to see people willing to stand for our country, people willing to pray for our country, you see God at work.
And what's next for you personally?
Go back on my crusade schedule, start in November. But I'm going to change the way I do my crusades because of what we have learned this year during the Decision America Tour. I'm going to go back starting next year, focusing on smaller cities in the United States, not taking up any offerings, not asking the churches for any committees, not asking churches for any money, but to come into a community and not to come on a weekend, but come during a weekday, Tuesday or Thursday, in the evening, for 1 hour, and have a gospel message, and invite people to come and bring the lost and bring the unsaved people. And I'm going to hop, skip across this country. We're going to start in Texas this fall. I'm going to call it the Texas Swing. And I'm thinking about a name for the tour. And we're thinking about calling it, you have to understand this, the Hell No Tour. Hell and no.
Yeah.
People have a choice,
yeah.
Either heaven or hell. And I'm saying hell no. Say no to hell and yes to Christ. But the Hell No Tour would probably get a little bit of attention.
Thanks for letting us come into this. We're actually in a bus.
We're
here.
We're in a bus, yes, sir.
And you don't travel on this bus.
Just short distances, but this bus has been with us to every state, the same driver, mm-hmm. and we have three of these buses, and the buses carry the crew and the tech equipment, and then, of course, we use this bus for like what we're doing here today.
It's been great being with you.
Thank
you, Dr. Austin.
I appreciate
you so much, what you stand for. And we're going to be together for eternity.
Yes,
Isn't
sir.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir. But until then, we got some work to do.
We do have. Franklin, I see from the engineers that are here, we have just several minutes left. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to ask you to pray for us, to pray for this country.
You know, Dr. Dobson, as we said earlier, our country's in trouble. The only hope is God. And I tell people, I may make some of you mad, but I have no hope in the Democratic Party, zero hope. You know, you can see the Republicans out there kind of clapping and cheering. And then I say, before you Republicans high-five each other, I have no hope in the Republican Party. The only hope for America is God. And so if I could just close this in a prayer, just asking God to bless not only our nation, but that the church would rise up. And that the voice of the Christians in this election would be heard across this country. That's the only hope for America.
Let's do pray.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Dr. Dobson. We thank you for his faithfulness all these years and this tremendous ministry that you have given to him. And now, Father, as we come to pray for our nation, Father, we pray that the church of this country will rise up and their voice will be heard this election. And Father, I pray that not only Christians would go out and vote, but pray before they vote. Father, touch their hearts as to who they should vote for, not just for president, but at the state level, at the local level, school boards, every level, Father. We pray that men and women of God would stand to their feet and they'd raise their voice and their prayers to you. And Father, we ask for your help. Father, we pray for this nation. Father, we pray if it be thy will, that you would give us a little bit more time and give us a leader who will look to you and trust you and put men of God around them to counsel them and direct them. So, Father, we ask you for your help. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity you've given to us. May we be faithful to you in all that we do and say. We thank you that you sent your Son from heaven to this earth, that Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sins, that he was buried for our sins, that you raised him to life. Father, thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God be with you and Jane and your entire team.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that was Franklin Graham joining Dr. Dobson on today's Best of the Best edition of Family Talk. And clearly this message was recorded before the election, of course, but it's still a great reminder that the election wasn't the end of our civic responsibilities as believers. Now more than ever, we need to be involved at every level of government to work towards a culture that honors God and honors the family. Now, if you want to join the conversation about this or any broadcast, you can find us at facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson or visit us online at drjamesdobson.org. You'll find some great resources there to strengthen your family and your faith in today's culture. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for joining us today. And don't miss the next Best of the Best broadcast right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Here's Dr. Dobson with an important message.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and I'm speaking to you from the offices of Family Talk. Thank you so much for your generous support. As the remaining days of the year tick down, we ask you to continue to remember this ministry and its financial needs. Thanks to the kindness of a donor, 100% of your gift will be matched through the end of the year, effectively multiplying your support by two. And that will give us the valuable resources necessary as we prepare the ministry for new opportunities in 2017.
To take advantage of this great offer, go online to drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us with your donation at 877-732-6825. Thanks so much, and God bless you.